It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Claire Casey of Economist Impact. Claire is the global head of policy and insight. What is global impact? It is a compendium of information that I need right now to look into the future. And in this instance, we're looking into the future on what Global Impact describes as the sustainability project, the sustainability indexes, all of them, across a wide swath. And so, in fact, it's so wide that we're going to go slowly through all of this. Claire, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. We better do definitions. What is the sustainability project? What is its ambition? Good evening to you.
Thanks for having me, John. The Sustainability Project is really representative of what we're trying to do broadly at Economist Impact, which is marry independent research and insights on some of the biggest issues of our day with a media company's ability to engage the audiences that are influencing decision-making on these issues, to raise awareness and deepen our understanding of these big issues. In the Sustainability Project, we're focusing on climate and sustainability, which I think there is now broad acknowledgement is an existential threat and also a huge opportunity to build a better future for the world. So we have partnered with Emphasis to build this digital ecosystem to enable ideas and engagement to occur on a platform that's really focused on solutions. What can we do to build this better, more sustainable future?
One of the interpretations that I found in reading through the many intricate details here is that there's both an offensive and defensive value here. In other words, there's what can be done to prevent deterioration, and there's also investment opportunity, prosperity possibilities, jobs, big jobs, but the nature of companies that do not exist yet. Am I reading too much into this, Claire, or did you think that that's what you were doing at the same time you were putting in the immediate concerns?
Yeah, absolutely. I spent most of my career focused on issues of climate and sustainability, and the conversation and really the sophistication of understanding what the opportunity is has shifted dramatically in just the last few years. And I think that's why we have so much attention, because companies are realizing that this isn't just a defensive act. It's actually an ability to position for growth in the future. So we did a bit of analysis that just looked at the investment needed to fund the energy transition. And it's nearly $17 trillion between now and 2030. But if those investments were made, we're looking at a net increase in GDP of 4% and 20 million jobs around the world created. So this is an economic opportunity. It's not purely defensive. That said, people who don't act and don't prepare and don't transition into this new future are going to be, I think, in a position where they'll have experienced real losses.
The categories on the website are very clear silos. So I want to start with net zero and energy silo. There was much talk of net zero at the recently concluded Glasgow meeting of COP26. What is right now your understanding of net zero, that project? Is it underway? Is it in the future? Was the disappointment of, I think, India and China were mentioned repeatedly, but there might be other countries that disappointed. Was that unexpected, Claire?
I think what we saw coming out of Glasgow and COP26 was a realization that, and I think it's an appropriate realization, the governments and countries, if we think on that level, they're only going to get us so far. And where net zero gets really exciting is actually when you think of other kinds of stakeholders. So we've seen a tremendous amount of movement in the corporate space with commitments to net zero. A lot of those companies have no idea how they're going to do it, but you start with a commitment. I was working with one of the largest car companies in the world 10 years ago when they committed to net zero, and they definitively did not know how they were going to achieve it, but they set the target and started working towards it. So there's a lot of attention on the idea that these plans aren't fully fleshed out. I'm maybe a bit of a glass half full person. I think that's okay, provided the urgency and the momentum keeps going and we start figuring out the plans and the commitments turn into real action. And that's what we're focused on.
I want to go through some stats on the website. Yeah. 69% of corporations globally have net zero targets. Is that a good thing or is that getting in front of a parade? I mean, the question here is, do I trust that number? Do we trust the companies when they make these pledges?
Trust but verify, right? So let's believe there's something real there, but let's keep checking. I think that the only, we're going to need to start seeing real action and not just commitments for 2050, right? So what we're going to be looking for from companies over the next months and years, and just the next few years, is being able to speak in very concrete ways about how they're going to put their company on the pathway to net zero. And that will be some immediate actions, and it'll probably be, in most cases, some investments in technologies that may not exist today.
$4 trillion, that's trillion, the T word, commonplace these days. $4 trillion annual clean energy investment in U.S. dollars needed to reach net zero. Okay, the clock is running. Yeah. Is it there? Do we see the pipeline? No. $4 trillion is a... That gets everybody's attention.
Yeah. So no, I mean, we are not spending nearly what we need to be spending to enable this transition. We are seeing funding go up. So I think that one of the easy metrics to wrap one's head around is at the national level, commitments to funding of clean energy projects in the developing world. And we saw that reach $80 billion a year in 2019. That's bigger than it had ever been. It's not nearly where it needs to be. So we're not where we need to be. The funding is way too low. But there is momentum today like there never has been in the past. And if I could offer my view of why that is, well, I actually think this is the one place where our global pandemic has helped us. So an abstract threat became real. Climate has been an abstract threat. And I think we are taking it seriously in a different way today because we have seen what it means to us when something abstract suddenly affects our day-to-day lives.
I've noticed in my work, Claire, that I use the word global routinely now. I no longer speak of in the world or the worldwide. I speak of global. There is, rhetorically at least in English, an easy transition from a national concept to a global concept. The pandemic provides that, and so does the ambition of sustainability. Mm-hmm. Another statistic under resilience and adaptation, this is another of the silos. Yeah. 60% of CEOs have not yet factored climate risks into risk management and strategies. What the heck? They have employees. They know how to do risk management. Just give the order. Isn't that simple?
It is not that simple. So it's really fascinating. We actually did a study of supply chain managers about a year and a half ago. And what we found was outside of some industries that are particularly sensitive to disruption, like semiconductors, most companies didn't really even have plans for supply chain disruption that were operational, that could actually turn from an idea into a response plan. So I think we often maybe give companies a bit too much credit for the kind of planning, forward planning they do and the planning they do for the unforeseen or the foreseen but distant threat. And so it's not, I don't think, surprising that we haven't seen that. But I do think we're going to see that number change in the next few years. And this will become a bigger priority.
And so you've identified what they're not doing. Now, MBAs are being routinely processed and put into the world. Are they hearing this at the school level? Is that happening?
I would say they are. You know, we used to say in the environmental climate sustainability community that it was sort of stuck at the kids' table and it was viewed as a side issue. And now I think it is firmly in the center of how we're thinking about economic competitiveness, how we're thinking about the competitiveness of a business, how we're thinking about national security. I think it is climate is now and sustainability now are mainstreamed. And we are probably seeing a generation of MBAs coming out with a different idea of what it means to be successful and how they'll get there.
I mentioned about the child's table. I will always go to the child's table whenever I'm invited. It is the future. That's where the action is, Claire. I'm speaking to Claire Casey. She is of Economist Impact. This is a website. It's a series of events. It's lots of statistics, swimming in data. Claire is the global head of policy and insight at Economist Impact. When we come back, plastic, plastic, plastic. Remember Dustin Hoffman? Remember The Graduate? Plastic. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.